You're listening to Geek This, the pop culture podcast with minimal nerd rage.
Welcome to Geek This. My name is Dave Clements, and this is a podcast dedicated to geeking out about pop culture. So we cover movies, TV shows, comics, and some of the news that surround those things. In this episode, I am going to discuss the MCU's latest and hugely successful release, Black Panther. And as a precaution, there are probably going to be some spoilers in the episode. So if you have a problem with spoilers, please stop this, go see the movie, come back and listen. If you've already seen the movie, well, then you already know what happened. So that said, let's go ahead and get the show started. I wanted to start this episode off with a little bit of my history with Black Panther. Now, if I'm completely honest, my Black Panther history is pretty limited. It isn't because I didn't want to read the character, didn't want to learn about the character. He just wasn't at the forefront of any of the comic books that I was reading when I started. And really, since then, I think he's only popped up in some of them. So I think the first time I actually saw Black Panther was when I really started to read comics regularly, which is during the Civil War series, the very first one. And he made some appearances and didn't really stick out to me. I realized that he was extremely smart. I knew he was the king of a country called Wakanda, and that at the time he was married to Storm. Since then, I have no idea what has happened with that character or anything like that. And that's a disappointment to me because he seems like a very rich character that you would really like to learn more about. I have, however, picked up a copy of Christopher Priest's first volume of Black Panther. And from what I understand, it was highly regarded and used as really the main source material for the film. And there, I might do a review on that in the future, but we'll see. Okay, let's get into the plot synopsis for Black Panther. The official synopsis from IMDb reads, T'Challa, the king of Wakanda, rises to the throne in an isolated, technologically advanced African nation, but his claim is challenged by a vengeful outsider who was a childhood victim of T'Challa's first mistake. Boy, that was a little hard to read. Probably hard to listen to, wasn't it? So that is the plot, and really, I think that's all you need to go into this movie knowing. I think it's actually better if you don't know about the character too much. At least for me, I enjoyed that a lot more. So Black Panther has smashed some records since it opened last week. Yeah, I am recording this the Tuesday after it was released, and it's pretty impressive, so let me run these down. Most pre-sale tickets from any superhero movie. Highest rated superhero movie on Rotten Tomatoes, sitting at 97%. Best Marvel IMAX ticket pre-seller. Best February Thursday night premiere box office at $25.2 million. So Thursday night, the night it premiered, $25.2 million at the box office. Amazing. Best non-team up opening day. Best opening weekend in February history. Biggest opening weekend for an African-American director. And biggest Monday box office of all time at $242 million. And it's only getting bigger. It's amazing. And this movie really, really does deserve it. Now, I already said that I enjoyed Black Panther, so the cat's out of the bag. I know, bad joke. But the thing about this movie, and I'm sure you know this by now with social media and whatnot, but there are two parts of this movie that have to be talked about. There's the cinematic side, and then there's the cultural side. If I'm completely honest, it's a lot easier to talk about the cinematic side of Black Panther. We review movies on the podcast, me, David, Adam, Mike. We make a podcast about reviewing things, and we don't usually spend a lot of time contemplating the deeper, more nuanced side of things. There are other better shows to do that. Real World Theology is a big one that comes to mind. Strangers and Aliens, they're friends of the show. But for this movie, it was really hard when I was writing the outline, what I wanted to talk about. And so because I don't really know what I want to say and how to say it, I'm going to actually leave the deeper stuff for another episode. It could be next week. It could be the week after. I haven't really decided, but I need more time to process it, because the more I think about this movie, the more wrapped up and emotionally invested I become. It moved me that much. So I apologize if that feels like an evasive maneuver. That is totally not the case. But I just want to make sure that I'm saying things in the best possible way instead of just saying whatever pops in my head. So, don't be offended, because I didn't really get into that kind of stuff. It's just I need time to process that. Okay, so anyway, let's go ahead and continue with the review. Now, as far as a Marvel movie goes, I am always interested in seeing new heroes and new villains enter the MCU, and it really makes the experience fresh, and it usually feels pretty unbiased by Kevin Feige, because, you know, they're really good at mining this lexicon of available characters that Marvel has to offer. And so they're able to dig down and go, okay, well, we can use this character. How do we use it in this story? And they bring up these characters that not everybody is going to know, you know, like, you know, okay, Spider-Man is in the MCU, but they didn't start there. They went with Iron Man, who was not as popular as he is now. You know, he was kind of a B-team character, from what I understand. Because guess what? At the same time Iron Man came out, I was just getting into comics, so I didn't understand that. He wasn't this huge popular character at the time. And so we're getting that with Black Panther. In this movie in particular, we're getting a character that is new, but we're seeing him struggle with tradition, and that leads to him having a lot of growing up to do as a king and as a hero. But we're also getting a new villain, and this villain feels very real. He's relatable, and there are stakes in the storyline that feel heavy and feel super familiar in the society that we live in right now. And so this world that Ryan Coogler directed and really helped create is really fascinating. So let's go ahead and jump into my favorite part of movies, and that is the characters that drive the plot forward. So let's go ahead and start with T'Challa, or Black Panther, played by Chadwick Boseman. Now, I have not actually seen Chadwick Boseman in too many movies. Actually, I've probably only seen him in Civil War. Please suggest some movies that he has been in, because I feel like this guy is a fantastic actor. He is underrated. And again, really sad that I don't know who he is outside of this character. This movie takes place not long after the events of Civil War. And so T'Challa is recovering from the death of his father, T'Chaka, and you can see that weight. You can feel that heaviness of, it is my responsibility to take care of my mother and my sister and this kingdom that my father has been in charge of for decades. What I love, though, is he knows how his country works. He sees the tradition in everything that they do. And that is a very interesting way to introduce Wakanda, is them bringing in this new king. And you get to understand how their culture works as far as tradition goes, and bringing a new king in and understanding the ritual of things. And of course, it's setting things up for later, but you understand that there is a way things have to be done. And T'Challa doesn't buck the system. And that makes even more of these characters interesting to me. That was the thing I kept in mind while watching him interact with Nakia and Shuri and Okoye. You know, when he was interacting with these people who he's grown up with, you see where he is a man of tradition. This is the way we do things. You know, we don't talk to people this way. We don't act this way. There is a certain way things have to be done. And I find that interesting that we end up getting this superhero out of this whole situation. And this is where it starts. Keeping in line with that whole idea of not bucking the system, I want to talk about Okoye and the Dora Milaje. I believe that's how you pronounce that. Danai Gurira played Okoye just fantastically and is very, very easily my favorite character in this entire movie. I know a lot of people want a Dora Milaje film, and I would totally be for that. She was just really great. So, like T'Challa, she's very much this, let's stick with the plan. This is the way things are done, blah, blah, blah. And you even get that moment between Okoye and Nakia where, you know, you've really, really understand why she is doing, and, you know, you understand because she says it, that she is protecting the throne. She is responsible for, you know, whoever's on that throne. That is her priority. And then, you know, T'Challa and Okoye at toward the end of the movie, before the last fight scene, you see them both change, and it's a really cool transformation to see that. This is the deep stuff that I was trying not to get into. But you see that, yes, you have tradition and yes, you have heritage, but they eventually have to change, but don't be extreme with them. Do good and fight for something better. Use those skills to fight for something better, to protect yourselves and, you know, fight for the future. I guess is kind of the idea that I got out of watching this movie. And that's what I see out of T'Challa and Okoye. Now, Nakia, who plays kind of the love interest / spy, she was really interesting to me because she was not necessarily following the rules that were kind of set in place in Wakanda. Her and Shuri are kind of similar in that way. Not that she didn't respect tradition, because she did, but she wanted better for her country and not just the city of Wakanda, I guess is how I would phrase that. She was looking outside the immediate needs of, yeah, like I said, the city. She was looking to the people, because Wakanda is this third world country, even though it's technologically advanced. And she saw that. She saw that there are people in need, and those are the people that need help because there's human trafficking going on. They're poor people. You know, basically she's saying we can do better, but you have to allow that. You have to pursue that too. And so Nakia there are a lot of strong voices. I mean, everybody I'm talking about, they're strong and they're really, really great and really rounded this movie out to become as great as it is. So Shuri, who is played by Letitia Wright, I first saw her actually this year watching the most recent episode of Black Mirror. She is in the Black Museum episode, which is actually an episode I liked quite a bit. It was really disturbing, but I actually did like it. Some people didn't. But it was so, so cool to see her playing the kid sister of T'Challa and kind of playing a Q role in the movie. I really enjoyed her and the humor that she brought because it wasn't too much. It was just right. And again, I liked seeing her kind of poke at tradition and going, tradition is good, but we can move past it and still honor it. This is really cool. And it was really cool to see her protect her brother and her family through the gadgetry. And I know there are more, not subtle, but there are deeper things with all of these characters. And again, I'm not going to get into it just because I don't know how I want to phrase it yet. But Shuri was a lot of fun, and I hope she's in the sequel if we get one, which I would assume we are. I'm going to say we are. Speaking of fun, we get CIA agent Everett Ross, played by Martin Freeman. He was a fun character. I'm so glad that they threw him in there. It was good to see him in there. And he played a pretty major role. Like, as far as people that were on screen, I don't feel like there were minimal parts. Everybody played a part. And it was really funny to kind of see Everett Ross as kind of this token white guy, to use a phrase that I swear I read in an article. So nobody get mad at me. It was really cool. And you get to see him, you know, be human and not just a CIA agent. And it was just a nice little treat that I'm glad we got. Finally, the antithesis to T'Challa was Eric Stevens, also known as Killmonger. This guy was played by Michael B. Jordan, and he was so fantastic. There are a lot of articles out there. You guys can check them out by just about how this kind of, not necessarily solved, but he kind of sidestepped Marvel's villain problem. And I think I've talked about it recently in the podcast. I do believe I talked about how Hela was a more relatable, if you can do that with an Asgardian, a more relatable villain. And Killmonger, they just got dead on, because there were times in this movie where you're like, that makes sense. I get why you're doing that, but you're also a bad guy. And the way I felt was, this is a character that you feel for, that you understand why he makes the decisions that he's making, even though you as the viewer know they're not right. And for me personally, I was hoping to see that maybe by the end of the movie, T'Challa would convince him to fight for him. And obviously we don't see that, but I thought it was really good wishful thinking. And this character was just played so fantastically that I didn't want to see him end the way that he did. I didn't want to see him end, period. I wanted to see more of him. And that's always a really crazy thing to do with a villain. How often does that happen? Very, very, very rarely. But for me, it did. It happened. It happened with Killmonger. And there's so much that can be said about this guy. And this was the other half of those deeper things that I don't know how to put into words. I haven't processed it enough. And processing for me is writing and getting things off my head. But you get such a fantastic villain because he is so relatable. And it doesn't matter if you're white, black, Hispanic. It doesn't matter where you're from. When you're watching this movie, you can understand where he's coming from. And there's empathy there and sympathy. You know, it's just so well done. And I love the way he's introduced. I love how, you know, he comes off as kind of this secondary thug kind of with Claw, who I'm not really going to talk about because I was a little disappointed that he was used so little, but I understand that Killmonger was the main villain. Anyway, Killmonger was just, I like the way that he was written into this movie and used, and he is a lot of the reason why I want to watch this movie again, because he is probably the perfect superhero villain. He has problems that matter to him that make sense. It's not just, I want to rule the world. It's not just that. It's very much, you know, my father was killed. I've been lied to. You have the ability to change things, you know, to enact change, but you refuse not to. So I'm going to take my rightful place and I'm going to change things. And I mean, okay, so you're not going about it the right way, but I kind of applaud you for wanting to change things and make things better for the people that you call yours. That was really cool. So I am going to wrap up this episode because trying not to go over a half hour, and there is still some more that I want to say about just this movie in general, but I haven't processed it. So here are kind of my final thoughts. I truly believe that Black Panther could not have come out at a better time. There are so many rich messages in this movie that you can find. I mean, you don't even have to really dig in and search for them. So I highly encourage you to go back. If you've seen the movie once, go back and watch it again and just pay attention. That's really all that you need to do. Watch it once for entertainment. Watch it again for education, because there's so much cultural education that you can get from watching this movie additional times. And I know that I said I wasn't going to go into this deeper topics and discussions and save it for another episode. And I'm not, but this is a film that I wanted to watch for multiple perspectives. That was really hard to say. I wanted to watch it from more than the perspective of a white Marvel fanboy. I wanted to understand the cultural importance of it. I don't want to use the phrase whitewashed, but in general, I believe that there need to be more films directed by people of color, because there is this oversaturation of white directors and white filmmakers who, yes, they're fantastic, but there are messages that need to be told from people that are more culturally diverse. And, you know, as as an American, I see the importance of being culturally diverse. We need that kind of a society. And I also see the importance of strong women. But also, as an American, I see where we lack. We can do more. And I think that is one of the biggest messages of this movie, is we can do more, but we need to break out of tradition. We have to break out of a little bit of our past while still respecting it, while we need to know where we came from in order to move on to the future. My intention is not ever to get political or overly religious or preachy, if you want to call it, on this show. That's never the plan. But this movie has meant something to me that I wasn't expecting, and I still don't fully understand it, even after talking about it. But I think it'd be really easy to, for not necessarily you, but for other people, to blame the way I feel on sensationalism or jumping on the bandwagon. But I really believe that that's not the case. There's something deeper that has to be found in this movie, and I'm still working on it. I really enjoyed Black Panther. Obviously, I enjoyed it enough to watch it twice, and I still want to go see it again. And it moved me. And I know this is not the typical review that I normally do, and that may be good, that may be bad. I guess in a way it doesn't matter. I want you to go back and watch this movie and think of it as more than a superhero movie, because it absolutely is. I think this is a movie that I could share with people that don't like superhero movies, but I think they will like this movie as an action movie, and I hope they get the deeper stuff. So anyway, that is going to do it for the episode. I'm wrapping it up right there because I don't quite know where I want to go with it. But if you would like to comment on this episode or any other episodes that we've released in the past, you can go to geekthispodcast.com and add your thoughts to the show notes for this episode. And while you're there, please, please, please subscribe. I've made it super easy for you to do it. All you do is go to the website, and on the right hand side of the front page, there are links to different ways that you can subscribe. Android, email, iTunes/Apple Podcasts. There's plenty of options. You'll figure one out. And if not, let me know and I'll see if I can get it into that podcast app or directory or whatever. Also, if you want to support the podcast, there's a couple ways you can do it. One, go to geekthispodcast.com/blueberry, BLUBRRY, and you can get a free month of podcast hosting. That's all I'm going to say about that. Go check that out. Also, if you are interested in buying a t-shirt that has the Geek This logo on it, you can go to geekthispodcast.com/t-shirt. That's the letter T, the word shirt, and go ahead and pick one of those up. David Hunt has picked one up. Zach Belt, who I mentioned a couple episodes, has picked one up. I am going to be picking one up, and I do believe a couple other people have picked them up that have been on the Facebook page. So yeah, if you get one, make sure you snap a picture and say, hey, look at me, I'm wearing one of your shirts. And if you don't want one of those, there's a mug and there's also a really kind of funny sticker that I think you might like. So that is it. I'm done trying to sell my wares to you. Please, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know. I would really like to start a discussion and see what you have to say about this episode. And if you didn't like it, you can tell me that too. But that's it. Episode's over. Thanks so much for listening to Geek This. Keep geeking out about whatever it is that is your thing, and I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Geek This. New episodes release every Wednesday. To keep from missing out, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or Stitcher by going to geekthispodcast.com and clicking subscribe. While you're there, be sure to check out the show notes to this episode and others to get links to things we mentioned. We hope you enjoyed this episode and join us next week for more pop culture with minimal nerd rage.